Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today we're continuing on our series of healthy foods and treats by speaking to Mike Thomas, Vice President of Development for QT Dog. Mike has been working in the pet industry for 17 years and has come up with some smart, wonderful products as well as some great harm-free treats. We're going to talk about all of it. I'm really excited to have him on. Mike lives in Dallas, Texas with his wife and teen son. He just finished up at Global Pet Expo, one of the huge trade shows for pet products. He's got to be exhausted, so I really appreciate him making the time to call in for the show. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for being here. Can you hear me?
Hey, Celia. How are you?
Hey, how are you? It's so good to hear your voice. How are you doing today?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. It's a beautiful day in Dallas, and just looking forward to our chat.
I'm so jealous. It's still freezing here. We're not cutting a break for nothing. It's terrible. So how was Global Pet Expo for you? Did you guys have a good show?
Oh, yeah. Well, the show is very busy. It's in Orlando every year about this time, and I figure there were in excess of about 1,800 exhibitors.
Wow.
And about 8,000 or so buyers wandering the floors.
Wow. So you were a busy boy, needless to say.
Yeah. And it's quite an expanse of... Well, suffice it to say, if you can make it for people, you can make it for pets.
Isn't that the truth? I haven't been to that one yet. I need to get there next year. But one of these days, I will definitely make it.
Well, Heritage should be able to pick that up or something.
I should hope so. I think maybe we should take a little message and let them know that. That's a good idea.
Sure. Yeah, I just got to do some location work.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's get started with this, because I know you guys have some amazing products, and I want to talk about as much as we can. So first off, how did you get started in the pet product industry?
It was a pure happenstance. I had an old business associate of mine who basically he got stuck with about 300 grand worth of fancy dog collars that he had had custom made for another company that changed hands while the stuff was on the water. And so I get a phone call, and I was kind of coming out of a career in the machine shop manufacturing business, and he said, Michael, what are you doing? I said, not too much. What are you doing? And he says, well, Michael, I have these blankety-blank dog collars. And so he told me the story, and they're fancy things. They're kind of fun. So he had gotten a booth at one of the big industry trade shows in the October of 97.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to it and looked around and just saw, billions of dollars being spent on the same thing over and over again. Every booth was basically, there wasn't a whole lot of outside of the box thinking.
Yep.
And all the money was flowing, so we just said, hey, we're going to get into this business. And we basically did. We started he'd let me come up with products and handle the sales end of things. He was great at getting stuff made and handling the money, and we're still going at it 17 years later.
That's amazing, especially in this business. I mean, as you and I know, it's like you go to the trade shows every year and there's always this huge line of new products. And you go through them, and everybody's full of optimism and hope, and it's just so sad when they don't make it the following year, So
it is, and sometimes it's really hard to figure out what, what's going on. Let me give you an example. I've got a good one.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, when you go to the dentist office, and a lot of dentists, they have a pre-pasted toothbrush that they give you. So here, go brush your teeth before you get in the chair.
Yep.
It's got a giveaway. So we said, what if we were to put meat-flavored toothpaste on this brush and sell it as a one-time disposable doggy toothbrush?
Mm-hmm.
So we came up and developed and brought to market a 99-cent retail disposable toothpaste pre-pasted toothbrush for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Great name, Doggy Dents.
Nice.
You know, And there, all of this, there's all of this push out there for dog dental hygiene.
Yeah.
And it was such, just a big, we thought, hey, no brainer. Crickets.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Not, I mean, it was as if, you know, it's just, oh, what a great idea. But I think we'll pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, folks greatly overestimated the willingness of the American dog owning public desire to actually brush their dog's teeth. I'm still sitting on some of the silly things.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, but you, it's and we get bombarded with submission ideas from, you know, the professional invention guys, as well as other people. Always, you know, here's a brand new and innovative way to pick up dog poo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, there's also a bag that your newspaper comes in.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I've seen some products that have been on the floor that are, I just feel so bad for them. It's like some of them, you just know the minute you see it, you're like, oh, it's wah, wah. And they're just, they're so excited behind it. And it really breaks my heart sometimes, you know.
Oh, sometimes, I mean, well, sometimes they spent, I mean, small fortunes on IP attorneys, and or they fall into the invention submission trap, and boy, you know, that's kissing away 10 grand right there.
Totally. So was the first thing that you guys did was the bowls and the elevators for the bowls?
Well, you know, we had the collars, and they lasted a while.
Okay.
And then we started doing elevated bowl holders.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very fresh back in the late 90s. Nobody had really, you know, they had some bowl stands that they would use in veterinarian situations, but it wasn't something that was a quote-unquote a decorative type item.
Right.
And so we came out with those in wrought iron and in wood, and some of the designs that we did back then are still doing very well for us today.
Well, your stuff is sturdy. I mean, it does, you know, I know someone who's got a bunch of your pieces, and they've been kicked all over the place by a bunch of Cocker Spaniels, and they're fine, you know.
Well, we try. I mean, it's, there's, you know, there's basically two sides to pet business. There's the consumable side and the hard goods side.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard goods side is basically what it sounds like, things that are basically bought once.
Right.
And you want it to last.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way that you can be successful at it is to build something that will last.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you're only selling one of them.
True.
Now, on the consumable end of things, you know,
the
animal consumes it, and then you get to sell them another.
It's a good point. It's a really good point. So with the bowls, elevators, just for people that don't know, what's the purpose of raising a dog food bowl?
Well, one, it's convenience for the dog. I mean, it puts them, you can make them so that they have to eat standing up, which is much better for their digestive alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't ingest enough, you know, as much air. They don't have to crick their necks. Their larynx is lined up. And it's just, you know, from a health point of view, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of them lying down, paw on each side of the bowl and burying their face like everybody's favorite black lab.
Yeah.
you know, they have to stand up, and they don't mind. And also, it's very much more of a convenience for the owner. You know, especially folks who might have some issues bending down all the way to the floor.
Yep.
Or things along those lines. Plus, people like to decorate. Remember,
that's
dogs
true.
Don't have credit cards. I'm not selling a beagle in an elevated feeder. I'm selling the beagle's owner an elevated feeder.
Good point.
So, I mean, you can work off that. Now, I mean, that trend has gone into basically the crate business, where they have crates that are made out of they're made to look like furniture. They're out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
They look like side tables.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's something that we tried, you know, a decade ago and didn't catch on. And now there's, you know, a couple dozen companies doing it.
So funny.
Sometimes you can be a little bit too early to the party.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, and something's that new, people need to see it. Like, I don't remember the amount of times. I know if you're trying a new food, you have to try the food 5 times before you might even think it's appealing. So with a new product, I can't imagine how many times you actually have to physically see it until you go, oh my God, that's a great idea, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's to make it in this business, it's very rare that you just bring something out and instant success.
Yeah.
You have got to keep, you've got to go to the shows, you've got to be persistent, you've just got to keep getting the product in front of people and have a thick skin.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I could do it. I mean, I think that's why I haven't started my empire of dog and cat treats, is because I just don't know if I could handle it.
Well, it's, you know, holistic and nutritious basic foods is and treats is a very big part of the business now.
And it's an important one.
An important one, but it's following the human trend.
Yep.
I mean, it's that that's as the human business goes, so goes the pet business.
I got to tell you, though, I think that it's, you know, animal food is getting healthier and human food's getting worse. So it's kind of, we're kind of in these weird crossroads right now, you know?
I think it's kind of always been like that.
That's true. That's true. Now, see, if the dogs had the credit cards, then there'd be a lot more junk food for dogs. So
absolutely.
We got to figure this out for you.
Well, we'll, you know, right now they've got RFID dog collars, so,
wow.
You know. Everything's getting wired one way or the other.
It's really, really true. I hate the thought of my dog being wired, but why not? Everybody else is, so nothing too new. But I want to talk about your treat that is how we first met, actually, antlers. And I remember seeing these at the show. I don't remember how long ago it was. I just think they're brilliant, and I love this product. So for someone who's never, ever heard of this, what is an antler?
Okay, what we do is we take naturally shed deer antlers, including deer, whitetail deer, elk, or mule deer, and we cut them into 5-inch pieces and create a dog chew toy. And, you know, the first time I would say that, what are you doing selling dog shoes? No, not shoes, chew, as in, you know, as in bite. And it's a... you know, bottom line, it is the healthiest, longest lasting, all natural dog chew on the market, period. It doesn't get soft.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't splinter. It doesn't smell. It doesn't stain the carpet. And most importantly of all, it's not a slaughterhouse product.
Which is why you're on the radio today, because I love it. And thank you guys for doing this.
Well, it's totally renewable, which is wonderful. And, you know, from a business point of view, it's also how you can get away with charging through the nose for it.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, it just lasts. I mean, it lasts and lasts.
It really, really does. I mean, I've given some as gifts, and, you know, 2 years later, the dog still has it. As long as it's not their favorite chew toy. But even if it's their favorite chew toy, it lasts for, what, 6 months or something?
It depends on the, you know, on how chewy the dog is.
Yeah.
But I, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months, really no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's been a lifesaver for some people because, you know, there's lots of folks who have, you know, rock chewers and just you know, dogs that are wired a little bit too tight.
Yep.
And the antler is just it's a soother. Additionally, when we first started doing it, I started getting calls from folks with multiple dogs saying that, hey, you just saved me $300.
Nice.
So what did I do? Well, I took my dogs to the vet today, and they don't have to get their teeth cleaned.
Wow.
Because it knocked all the scale off their teeth.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a, you know, it's, and we were the first to market, and now we've got plenty of competition out there, but
yeah.
We're pretty well represented in both independent pet stores as well as mass merchants now on antler.
And so how do you guys get rid of any kind of microbial contamination that the antlers might have?
Well, I mean, they are lying, they come off of a live animal, and they are lying out in the wild. You know, antlers love to be chewed on by critters and because it's calcium and salt. And that was an issue that we really had to address early on, just because the whole salmonella thing has always been out there.
Yeah.
And so we had three options, according to the USDA. We could soak them in a chlorine solution, which would adulterate the product.
Yeah.
We could bake them at 185 degrees, which would be very smelly.
Yeah, to say the least. Oof.
Or we can irradiate them, which is putting them into a chamber with a cobalt-60 source. And it basically scrambles any live DNA that happens to be in its proximity.
Wow.
And it's a process that is, you know, approved by the appropriate folks and used to sterilize just about any bit of spice that comes into the country to take care of any bugs or any potential microbial contamination. Chicken, Band-Aids, surgical equipment.
Yep, coconuts. Any coconut brought into this country is irradiated.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, and it works.
Yep.
So we every 100% of the horn that leaves our facility is sterile.
Which is amazing. And so, quick question before the break. What do you say to people that are concerned that they're too hard and they might damage a dog's teeth?
Well, I mean, if the dog's teeth are sound, mm-hmm. if they're not already damaged by, you know, overchewing or would have cracks in them, the calcium in the antler is, one, it's not covered with an enamel, and two, it's softer than the dog's teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't get soft. They can't bite off chunks of it. What they end up doing is wearing it down.
Yep.
And the antler wears down and not their teeth.
Perfect. Perfect. So, Mike, we need to take a break, so hang out for a second. I'm talking to Mike Thomas of QT Dog. We should be back in approximately 60 seconds.
Is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. Full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Hey, so we're back. This is Celia Kutcher talking to Mike Thomas of QT Dog on Animal Instinct. And Mike, we were just talking about antlers, and I wanted to know, are your antlers, are they like from farm deer or are they wild deer? Where do they come from?
Well, since they're sheds, pardon me.
No problem.
About 98% of the horn comes from the wild.
Mm-hmm.
There are, believe it or not, there's over 1,000 white-tailed deer breeders in the state of Texas alone. So we do get some sheds from them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's overwhelmingly a wild source product.
So, like, I envision you guys, like, driving out on, like, the prairie with like, pickup trucks. I mean, am I totally wrong?
It's very romantic. In the real world, the U.S. has been exporting bulk antler, primarily elk, to Asia by the container for about the past 30, 35 years.
Wow.
Ground-up deer antler is a major component in the Asian herbal palate.
Mm-hmm.
So suffice it to say that the people who, it's not a very thick book being in the wild antler business.
Yeah.
So I was able to make connections pretty early on, and I bought about 150,000 pounds of deer of antler last year.
Wow.
It's a lot of horn.
I have visions of this, like, in your, like, garage or something. It's just opening up the door, and it's just horn everywhere, you know? Lot of horn.
It's a lot of horn. We flow through it. I mean, we process it in our warehouse in South Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And, ship it out of there. So it's, it's 100% USA product, which
Beautiful.
Is also now very important in the pet supply business.
Yeah, that's huge to me. That's another reason why you're on. Are there any other animals that can do well with antlers?
Well, I mean, rodents like to chew on them for teeth maintenance. So one of my first non-canine or regular pet customers was actually somebody who was in the squirrel rehabilitation business. You know, and mine is not to wonder why, just to provide.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's cool.
But cats don't have molars, so they're really not much of chewers.
What about like parrots and like big birds? Can they get any benefit?
They make wonderful perches. Antler does
nice.
Because of the variety of sizes and everything.
Yeah.
But we tried introducing a line of parrot perches, and that just didn't really go over very well.
Mm-hmm.
I think because folks associate perches with kind of a destructible product, they don't want to drop, and an antler perch would be expensive. They don't want to drop $40-$50 for a perch, which they think that their macaw is just going to tear up.
Good point.
And from a point of, it's a little bit too hard to be kind of a calcium source for them, unlike a cuddle bone.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much become a dog thing. But, you know, there's 35 to 40 million dog-owning households in the United States, and, you know, there's plenty of room.
That's a lot. That's amazing. All right, well, I want to talk about the other product that you guys have that completely blew my mind when you showed it to me, Chirpy Chews. Okay, what are these things?
Well, what it is a super hard yak milk cheese that's made in Nepal. The Nepalese, for hundreds of years, have been taking yak milk, knocking all the solids out of it, and compressing it into a very hard, almost toffee-like cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And they love it. I mean, it's a human food over there. It's kind of their all-day sucker. But there was a U.S. Peace Corps worker who was over there, and he found a street puppy and adopted it, and the dog's eating his shoes. So he says, well, maybe I'll give him a piece of this Chirpy.
Yeah.
Of course, the dog thought it was crack.
Oh no!
Oh my goodness! So there was a company out of Seattle that started bringing it in and selling it to little independent pet stores, and we got a call from one of my distributors who's, you know, likes little unusual things, and he says, "Have you heard about this Chirpy? This Himalayan cheese?"
Yeah.
And I did a little research and. Sent my partner off to Kathmandu because he's kind of apart from that part of the world. And
anytime you need someone, Mike, I'm here for you, babe.
Well, you know, yeah, going out, it's not the easiest place to get in and out of.
Yeah.
But you know, they've got regular flights and good hotels. And we were the second folks to bring it in, but dogs absolutely go bananas for it, and it's now really taking pet specialty by storm.
Mm-hmm.
I consider it to be a very long lasting treat because it in no way lasts as long as an antler.
Right.
But it really occupies dogs. I mean you give it to your little dog,
mm-hmm.
and you won't quite know what it is.
Yeah.
But he knows it's good, and so he'll keep it in his mouth, and he'll start doing that, really wagging his tail fast and looking at you like saying, I dare you to try and take this away from me. I just dare you. And then they kind of walk in circles and say, ha, 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 ha. And it's just the behavior they exhibit when they first sup of it is quite fun. It's really great having products that, you know, do something that really, you know, that I find it really rewarding.
I mean, for me, it's the harm-free I love, and that's it. Really is just such a great thing, you know, because many
great
people
stuff
are so
about
conscious.
This. Great stuff about the Chirpy Chews.
Mm-hmm.
It only has one ingredient. It's yak milk.
That's crazy.
There's a touch of salt as a preservative, I mean a touch.
Okay.
And there's a touch of lime juice, which they use to knock the casein out of the way.
Oh, okay.
But there's a huge trend in the pet supply business now for what they call unusual protein.
Yep.
And, you know, so, I mean, if you went to the Pet Expo over the last week,
mm-hmm.
You would see introduced a whole variety of chews, treats, jerky, snacks, made from crocodile and alligator.
Wow.
And all U.S., all domestic, because, you know, there's, according to a couple of TV stations, there seems to be a real alligator over population situation.
Oh, God, I used to live in Florida. They're everywhere. I mean, not a problem.
Right now, chicken feet.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken feet are big. People are giving whole chicken feet to the dogs to chew up. Bully sticks. You know, do you know what a bully stick really is?
I do, but a lot of people don't. So you want to break the news?
Well, it's a stretched out, cleaned, and dried cow pizzle, which is a polite word for pizzle.
It's the naughty bit of a bull.
Well, it's the twig and not the berry.
Exactly.
But now, you know, because that was out there, I was able to actually source out of Brazil the oven-dried berries portion.
Oh, you're kidding.
So, no, yeah, I sell something that is a 6-inch bully stick with two Brazilian oven-dried steer scrotums, and I call it the package.
I'm afraid to even ask what it looks like.
it's just packed together. I mean, they look like basically a a shriveled up
two balls and a stick, basically.
yeah, basically. But you know, we package it tastefully.
Nice.
But you know, we get a lot of grief about the name, but we figured we'd just put a little tongue in cheek and call it the package.
I love it. I love it.
And so, but I mean, it's just a ton of fun. So right now, everybody's on the mad hunt for the next unusual chew. You've got right now water buffalo horns out of India seem to be trending pretty heavily, and they're cool. I mean, the dogs seem to like them, but they do they can get odoriferous.
I'll bet they can, and they're huge, aren't they?
Well, they get cut down.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just one of the things that you got to do. You can't really take anything just as you find it in nature.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of people who have tried to actually sell sticks.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really go over that well because folks say, "Well, I got some of them in my backyard."
I remember that actually. There was a guy who was doing. Oh wow! I don't even remember how many years ago it was in. It was a backer in Baltimore, and there was a guy who had designed. He had sticks, but they were fake sticks, and he had real sticks. And needless to say, he wasn't there the following year. It was very sad. But.
Well, you know, or the poor guy who decided to put some pennies into an empty tin can and sell it as a training device. But you know, well,
the nervous breakdown material, as I call it. I hate that thing. Oh,
exactly. I can just put some pennies in a can myself.
Yeah, seriously. You don't need to spend $29.95 on that.
Amen. Now, well, but there's a very helpful video.
Exactly. You can get it on YouTube for free. I have a question for you regarding all these unusual proteins. Do you think it's something that's feasible in the long term, or do you think it's just a trend?
No, I think it's feasible.
Cool.
There's been a big problem with recalls over the past year and a half, and it's been in the news everywhere, and so people are wary,
mm-hmm.
And always looking for something new.
Mm-hmm.
For dogs like people, there really is no reason that you can't have a whole aisle of treats that would be similar to the pretzel and potato chip aisle in a grocery store.
Yep.
So I don't see any slacking off.
Mm-hmm.
These things tend to peak and then even out. But you know, and for me, I believe antler will probably be a forever 15 to $20 million a year business.
Wow.
And and that's a drop in the bucket.
Compared to the industry, totally.
Yeah. I mean, the treats business is $800 million to $1 billion just for treats.
Wow.
And that's not chews. I mean, the animal supply business in this country is $50 billion a year.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now most of that is vets and food, but still, that leaves a lot.
Yeah, it really does. God, that's amazing. That's almost, I mean, I don't know how much the beauty industry is, but I would think it's around there as well. It's just it's amazing how many animals there are in this country, and the amount of care that we give our animals as well, and being able to deal with these proteins and things like that.
I'm not a huge fan of the term pet parents, but it's very apropos.
Mm-hmm.
People, people will do just about anything. And there's, you know, philosophically, I think there's two sides of it. You know, there's that famous story about that poor woman in California who was jogging up in the hills above L.A., got attacked and killed by a mountain lion.
Oh, that's right.
She left behind a couple of kids. Park rangers found the lion, shot the lion,
right.
Found a couple of cubs.
Mm.
There were funds set up for both. Well, the fund for the cubs, you know, it hit $500,000 within a couple of weeks,
yeah.
And the funds for the kids, you know, it was lucky to raise 10 grand.
Ugh.
So it's, you know, pets, you have to love them because they give you complete, unadulterated, unconditional love.
They really do.
But it's relative.
It's an interesting thing to hear, and it's the truth. You know, it really, there's a lot of people that we talk to in our industry of, you know, I like animals a lot more than people. And for some of those people, I'm always kind of, you know, keep an eye open because, I mean, I love my animals. I love animals. That's why I do this show. But,
you know,
they're not human beings. And so I agree that they should have equal rights with us in terms of abuse and all that kind of things. But, you know, it gets to the point of, you know, this is my daughter. And it's like, well, actually, no, it's a cat or it's a bird or it's a dog or, you know, whatever it may be. The connection that people are getting with their animals at this point is so deep and so intense that, you know, they should be taken good care of.
And the thing is, in the business, people do their best to take advantage of that.
That's true.
And so it's, I'm a firm believer in, you know, live and let live, but, you know, as you know, just keep on, you know, don't get too carried away.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, I think our next big trend, our next big thing is we're going to be exploring this Brazilian oven dried nutsack business a little bit more aggressively.
It sounds like a great idea, and I love it because it's, you know, these are body parts that are normally just wasted and thrown out. So to be able to use
exactly.
something that's scrap, you know,
yeah, they just go into the rendering pile.
Oof.
And you know, it's a always keeping out for something that you can repurpose.
Yep. Yep. Mike, I hate to tell you this. We are out of time, but I have really... Thank you so much for talking to me. I've really, really enjoyed speaking with you. I love seeing you at the trade shows.
Well, it was a joy, and I hope I didn't ramble on too much.
No, you didn't ramble on at all. Are you kidding? You were amazing. So if anybody wants to find your products, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you or to find Antlers and Chirpy Chews and the package?
Okay, well, Antlers are available currently... in one form or another in just about every pet specialty store that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Our Antlers, which is spelled with a Z on the end,
mm-hmm.
Are available in Petco
mm-hmm.
and Target,
mm-hmm.
In the Harris Teeter stores in the southeast, HEB stores in the southwest, and, of course, online all over the place.
Yep, definitely.
QTDog.com
yep.
is a good source of information, and we've got a button there where we always are more than happy to answer questions.
That sounds great. Mike, thank you so much. I've been talking to Mike Thomas of QT Dog. I'm Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer. Thank you guys so much. And tomorrow, or next Monday, I'm sorry, we're going to finish up our 4 weeks of healthy dog and cat foods, talking about healthy bird food. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you then. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.